It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, broadcasting live from our studios in Superior. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is connecting with private landowners all over the state to promote sustainable forestry and land management practices. And the hope is to reach thousands more landowners in the coming years. Do you own forested land in the state? And if so, would you be open to working with the State Department of Natural Resources on a management plan? Join in at 800-642-1234. Diane Gunderson is a private forestry outreach specialist at the Wisconsin DNR. Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Terry Oslison is with us as well, a forester with the DNR. She's the supervisor for the Brule Team of Integrated Foresters. Terry, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, Diane, let's start with you. Why is it important to reach out and connect with landowners here in Wisconsin on this issue of sustainable land management and forestry?
Well, the majority of Wisconsin woodlands are privately owned. So that's about 9.8 million of Wisconsin's 17 million acres of forested land are all held by private landowners.
So, Diane, as you work with these landowners, what is the first step in reaching out with them and connecting with them?
Well, generally, we recommend that they start with a walk on their property with a forester, and that's a free service that the DNR provides to every landowner, preferably with 10 or more acres.
Terry, what do you see as the benefits of privately owned forests?
Well, since there's so many forests across the state, it's a way to create sustainable forestry to more acres and get people engaged and understanding. Really, the process is education. And if we can educate people about what they have and gauge their interest, that's really the fun part of figuring out why people own the land and are excited about it, whatever makes them tick or stay engaged. So it's important they can contribute to a habitat on their own, recreation on their own, and then when you put it across the state, it just creates healthy forest. And
so what you're saying is all of these pieces of land have a backstory. They have a story, and these private landowners are able to kind of tell you that story and how and what practices came to be on that land?
That is true. Yep, that's correct.
And you're encouraging sustainable forestry. As a forester, how would you define that concept?
So essentially it's a form of proactive management that you can it's balancing what you have today, well, starting past today and then for future generations. So your wildlife habitat, water, basically everything's integrated, and we want to have what we have now and make it present or available for future generations.
And Diane, the DNR is wanting to reach 20,000 landowners in the next 5 years to try and develop a conservation plan for an additional 1 million acres of forest in the state. So how are you going to get that goal accomplished?
Well, we have a couple of initiatives from a statewide level, and we also are working with the foresters to provide them with the resources they need to work directly with the landowners successfully, as Terry mentioned.
How are those relationships like, and how do you establish trust?
Well, we've built some strong relationships with some key partners that have like-minded goals like we do as far as protecting our natural resources on a statewide level, and some of those folks are from the American Forest Foundation, which is a national program, and using their Woods Camp technology tool. Another one of our key partners is the Aldo Leopold Foundation, and their My Wisconsin Woods, or actually I should say our My Wisconsin Woods program, and also the University of Extension, University Stevens Point, and the Wisconsin Woodlands Owner Association. They're some of the top partners that we've built relationships over the past, 10 years or more. And they, like I said, they have like-minded goals and have developed that trust both ways with each other.
Do you find, Diane, that there, as you have like-minded goals, are there similar plans for forestry management that are being incorporated across the state? Or are there plans that perhaps are somewhat divergent?
They're very synergistic. We are actually even working on work together on a statewide outreach coalition so that we are maximizing our opportunities and our efforts in both presenting materials. When we work with the landowner, it's a cohesive process where we're all integrated and can provide resources at different phases of where the landowner's at in their decision-making process.
We're talking with Diane Gunderson, a private forestry outreach specialist at the Wisconsin DNR, and Terry Oslison is a forester with the Wisconsin DNR. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you worked with the DNR to help manage your own land? And if so, how did it go? How did it come about? What was the result? And what questions do you have about sustainable forestry here in Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Gary now, calling from Boscoville. Hi, Gary.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to push back on some of the forestry techniques that are being employed on these private property and working with private landowners. I've been doing prairie restoration and oak savanna restoration for 45 years. And one of our main tools in that process is using prescribed burns. And every year, especially the fire control people and the forestry people are getting more and more obsessive and compulsive about using fire as a management tool. Fire in Wisconsin impacted every single native plant community that we had here in pre-settlement times. And without fire on some of these plant communities in Wisconsin, they tend to degrade rapidly. And in oak forest, the oak reproduction is degraded by the lack of fire. And we use fire as a critically important for maintaining or eliminating invasive species in our woodlands. And so for the DNR, I worked for the DNR for 35 years, and for the fire control people in DNR, they are counterproductive to doing any kind, those policies are counterproductive to doing any kind of sensible and meaningful forestry management.
Gary, I want to pause right there and bring up a number of points. Terry Oslison, you're a forester. What do you see there in terms of prescribed burns?
Well, correct. He is correct. Fire is an excellent tool as far as silviculture goes for regenerating oak. We do use it as a tool in the toolbox, but because the conditions are, you need specific conditions in order to burn on specific days and sites, so it isn't probably often used, but it is there, an option. And he is correct, there are habitats throughout the state that depend on fire. Now, I'm not saying, he could call locally and talk to people about that, but there are actions being done across the state to promote habitats for those specific places, oak savannas, barrens. I know barrens up here in the northwest part of the state is a huge, the rolling barrens concept is a big thing right now in providing habitat for basically barrens type species, like example, the sharp-tailed grouse and stuff like that.
Yeah. Terry, do you see prescribed burns happening on private landowner property in forested areas?
It can be, but the fire control does kind of offer permits and inspect. So it can be done. They just like to have people do it safely. That's the main concern, that it's done safely to protect the resource and the people.
So, Diane, when you meet with private landowners and do that walk on their property, what are some of the questions you ask? What comes up in those conversations?
Well, Terry might be better positioned as she works directly with the landowners themselves, but from what we know, a lot of the landowners like to understand what they have on their property. They often, and we're talking more of the landowners that aren't working with somebody right now. They may not even have worked with anyone about their property, or maybe they aren't even sure what to do next. And so we like to work with them to identify trees, invasive species on their properties, work with them on what they want to do with their property, how long have they had the properties, what do they want to do with it, both now and in the long term. A lot of folks are interested in wildlife habitat and how they can create a habitat for increasing the wildlife on their property, or bird watching, or maybe hunting, recreation. So we are trying to work with them to understand what it is that they want to do and help them get to their goals on their property over time.
We're looking at the impact of private landowners on state forest land. Diane Gunderson is our guide. She is a private forestry outreach specialist at the Wisconsin DNR. And Terry Oselson is a forester with the DNR. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Have you previously worked with the DNR to help manage your land? And if so, how did it come about? What was the result? What questions do you have about sustainable forestry? Call in. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back in just a minute right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's forests cover nearly half of the state, and private landowners hold the largest chunk of these woodlands, more than 10 million acres. The DNR hopes to reach thousands of these landowners to help them do better at forest management. Do you own your own forested land in the state? And if so, would you be open to working with the State Department of Natural Resources on a management plan? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Diane Gunderson is a private forestry outreach specialist at the DNR, and she stays with us. Terry Oselson is here as well, a forester with the DNR. She's the supervisor for the Brule team of integrated foresters. We heard from Michael, who called in to ask what the plan for the land is. He's a landowner and might be interested in a program like this. What will be done with the land, he asks? Does it coexist with natural conservation goals? Terry, would you like to take that?
Sure. So really, it depends on what he has goals for his property. So my job is not to tell him what to do, but to figure out what he wants to do. So Diane alluded to basically having conversations with these landowners, and really it comes down to finding out the who, what, when, where, you know, that sort of thing. So you're just asking a list of questions to figure out where their background is coming from, why they have the property, and then tying that all together. So you want this, now how do we get there? And maybe that's through active management. Maybe it's through a little, just if he has an invasive or something. So we can treat that or write goals. So he has his goals that we put down, and so we're listening to that landowner, and then we're just trying to make that all happen, working together. And, you know, it's really a cooperation or a partnership between the landowner and the state. And then at some point it's up to the landowner. We can help them guide, you know, and push to the right resources that are out there, like different funding sources, if that's the case. But we just help guide the landowner to where they need to be to get to their goal.
Do you often find landowners in that active management, they're harvesting those forests and getting a paycheck in return every once in a while?
That is correct. I mean, as a forester, I have to say I do like to see wood go to market, but that's not the end goal for everyone, and mm-hmm. it might be just actually tertiary. Maybe wildlife habitat is their ultimate goal, but in getting there, we could suggest, well, maybe if you harvest this, you'll create more browse and get more sunlight entering the forest floor that creates that herbaceous layer and young forest seedling saplings to promote different species of wildlife, for example.
Let's go to Karen now, joining us from Hollandale. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Your show is really interesting this morning. Thanks.
Great.
We sort of naively bought about 80 acres of land in the Driftless area, and 20 acres are in a USDA forestry plantation program. And we thought we were buying this great asset, and now we've been told the pine trees are mature, it's time to cut them, but there's no market for it. And in between the pines, they planted rows of oak trees, which never caught on, and ash trees, which are now all dead or dying. Our beautifully forested asset land seems like a liability. What do we do now?
Karen, thanks for the call. Terry, what do you hear there?
So that was actually quite common, where you would plant either for just watershed protection or, you know, kind of to prevent soil erosion and stuff in those hilly countries of the southwest part of the state. And it was suggested to plant oak between the pine or a hardwood type species for just a variation. When the pine grew, you could cut that and release your oak. But likely deer browse limited the oak growth. So what you have is the pine left. And perhaps they are mature, where you would do a thinning, and you can wait for the markets to turn around. They usually do. But with the ash, that is true. There's EAB on the generally prolific down there, or it's spreading, you know. So I would say you could plant more pine. I mean, and just, you know, wait. I mean, forests are a long-term.
Wait it out a bit.
Yeah. It's a long-term thing. I mean, they're not going to
turn overnight.
Yeah.
Let's go to John in Boaz. John, hi. Hey, John, are you there? Nope, I think we've lost John. Diane, I understand you've got a few different initiatives rolling out between now and early July. Can you walk us through those?
Sure can. We're, like I mentioned earlier, we're working with the American Forest Foundation, and they have a tool called Woods Camp, which is a technology tool. And we look at doing, they manage that through Facebook ads or social media. So that's a great way to target landowners and link them up with resources to, you know, do what they landowners want to do on their property. We're also working with Aldo Leopold Foundation and created a landowner portal, if you will, at mywisconsinwoods.org, where landowners can go there to request a free forester visit, look at other free resources that are available, and also get connected with fellow landowners if they want to talk to landowner peers and whatnot, if that's the way they want to go. We want to make sure we're offering enough resources for landowners, so if they're comfortable working in this direction or with these people, or maybe they're more comfortable working in a different direction with some different folks. So I just want to make a lot of options available to make it easy for the landowner. We'll also be out there. You're starting to see some media out there statewide. Both of those initiatives, the mywisconsinwoods.org and the Woods Camp, are starting rolling out. We've been piloting Woods Camp for about the last year in the Lake Superior Basin area and the Driftless area, and we're filling the gap on the western part of the state, and starting right now. And by July 1st, we'll be statewide with both Woods Camp, and right now mywisconsinwoods.org is a statewide effort. And like I said, you'll be seeing some media out there this spring. and into early summer.
And I want
to
jump
bring awareness.
I want to jump in here because I think John in Boaz has a quick point to make. John, hi.
Hi, good morning. Burning trees is carbon neutral. If we would harvest our trees, such as shagbark hickory, in our 17 million acres, we could replace oil, gas, and coal.
Terry, what do you make of that?
Well, so the wood resource that is out on the land is an excellent sustainable resource, and as long as we're not, I mean, the plan is to use it, it is sustainable, but as long as we're not over-harvesting. So, I mean, it's an option, and people can consider it. I think there's technologies out there, but I'm not to say that everybody will go that route. It's kind of economically driven, too. So there's a lot behind it, but it is a good renewable resource for our
Before we have to let you go, I want to ask, tomorrow is Arbor Day. It's also about planting and caring for trees. What is the best way to celebrate, Terry?
Well, I would definitely say plant a tree. Get a tree from the state nursery. That's always a good way to go. Or several trees. Reforest your property or afforest your property. Plant some trees in a new location. Also, just being a good steward of the land is an excellent way, where we all have our own goals. So to just be good stewards and promote for future generations is great.
Well, thank you both for joining us. Diane Gunderson is a private forestry outreach specialist at the Wisconsin DNR. Terry Osselson there, a forester with the DNR. She's also the supervisor for the Brule team of integrated foresters. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.